I should go get audited and we'll find out.
Catholics don't do that. We don't try to out each other.
You just go confess.
I might just go get audited just for fun.
Just why not?
Yeah.
And guess who's joining us right now?
The man who knows something about this.
He knows everything about this.
Tony, have you ever been audited?
Tony Ortega.
No.
Have I ever been audited?
Yeah,
no,
I know.
Thank goodness.
Okay. But you, I'm intrigued because you know so much. And by the way, this is Tony Ortega. And if you want to know anything about Scientology, you should get on his blog because it's just, it's endless. And I always say these are the perfect scripts for movies. TonyOrtega.org. If you've been following the series lately that Leah Remini put together, you know Tony's take on it and the Church of Scientology. But I'm curious how you became you, why your interest in writing it and how long you've been doing it.
You know what, Jillian? I was just a reporter starting out in Phoenix 21 years ago, and I just fell into a great story. Really on accident, about a guy named Rick Ross who was a cult expert. And I was fortunate enough to work for a company that, you know, let me kind of follow up with other people that, you know, and it just kind of develops a specialty of mine.
Wow.
And so I've been writing about it for 21 years, and I'm just a reporter. I'm fascinated. And it's a story that's changing. That's what I like about it, is that, you know, Scientology is going through changes, and I have a front row seat.
You have a front row seat. You've been writing about it since the beginning, and you were writing about it when people didn't even understand what it was. There were certainly no celebrities coming out after being in it for 3-4 decades saying, oh, my God, I got out, and this is my story. So you were kind of a lone voice, and now it must feel so interesting and different and strange in a good way that all of these people have come out, and there's been movies, and now this documentary series.
It was tougher back then because, you know, people, the publications were more afraid, and, you know, we had to have lawyers and look at every word, and it was it was tougher, and they were very intimidating. But over time, you know, there's been a lot of changes. You know, the Anonymous movement in 2008 made a huge difference, and that was right about the time that Jason Begay came out. He was the first actor to come out and really speak, you know, publicly about what he found were problems in Scientology. He was followed by Paul Haggis. So, things have really changed. And now Leah Remini's got the most watched, you know, show on
in
television.
A&E.
Right,
it's amazing what she's doing. Now, let's talk to Ethan. I don't know if you've seen started to watch the series.
I haven't
night.
Seen this, but I definitely watched the one with Paul Haggis.
Oh, no, that was incredible. That was Going Clear. That was a movie. Well, Leah Remini is now, that was Alex Gibney's movie, and Tony was also in part of that. But this is a docuseries that she is, that really focused on what Scientology is and L. Ron Hubbard. This is more about the effects that and the havoc that it wreaks on people's lives.
On the individuals.
On the people that
how they
leave.
Separate you from your family.
Absolutely. So, Tony, tell us a little bit about last night's episode and what's happening. And is Scientology slowly starting to lose their grip?
Yeah, well, just before last night's episode, I wrote a story about an incredible new document that showed up. You remember last week, they did a show about a woman named Abby Scobie.
What a story.
Who was talking about how when she was only 14, a 35-year-old guy in the organization had sex with her.
Yeah, raped her.
And they covered
what?
It all up.
Yeah, she was 14.
Well, in the few days since then, I reported a story. The Church of Scientology tried to intimidate A&E out of doing this show by claiming that she was 16, not 14.
Oh, that makes it better? She's
still
a child.
That's still non-consent. That's still statutory rape.
Of course it is.
And that she was the sexual aggressor.
Oh,
they called her the sexual aggressor.
They are aggressive at victims. They just don't know. They just go after anybody. She was 16. She's underage. Do they not get that?
Well, and it was 1978.
It makes me want to
throw my computer. Why don't they just say, you know, it was a different time, and we're, you know, we probably didn't handle
Roman Polanski
the best
got
and
off.
Move on. Instead, they're trying to make her. They're still trying to smear her. So that came up just before the second episode.
And for
the
them to say, well, let me interject. I have a daughter, and when you, a 16-year-old, for them to say that's an aggressor, that's still an adult, and the adult should still have the last say to say this is wrong. So even if she was, the adult's job is to say, you are not 18.
She was 14.
But she was 14. But I love their defense. Well, she was 16, and she was the aggressor. Even if she was, and that was true, which it's not, you're saying, they still would not have a defense. So that using that as a defense is crazy. Anyway,
That came out before the second episode. Then the second episode was about Mike Rinder. Mike was once the top international spokesman for all of Scientology. It was his job to try to make, you know, difficult for people like me to report about this stuff. So it's amazing that he's now come out.
Yeah.
He used to oversee the harassment campaigns of people. And then
wait, and was he ever against you? And now you guys are friends? Like that would
no,
be.
No, I was out on the West Coast, and I was working with a publication that I never ran into him while he was still in. I've gotten to know him 4 or 5 years ago, and we talk a lot.
Was he one of those squirrel busters and stuff where you really harass people?
He was definitely harassed by the squirrel busters and all kinds of other things. Just, you know, amazing harassment that they talked about Tuesday night. And the thing is, I've been talking to him for 4 or 5 years, so I knew everything they talked about. But I got to tell you, Julia, there's something about it being on television and Leah hosting it. It just makes it so dramatic. And I was watching the reaction on Twitter, and people were going crazy. They're saying, how can this happen in America? How can they just, like, surveil and harass somebody simply because he walked away and spoke up about it? And so I think it's reaching a whole new audience, and people are really motivated to watch it.
Oh, yeah, they're getting great numbers.
Well, next week, they get into the money side.
Well, let's.
Oh,
what about
the money? Let's discuss that, because this was a whole the IRS, didn't they fight the IRS for the longest time, and finally the IRS
they
just threw
in the
towel.
Status.
Yeah.
They
right.
bullied the IRS into giving them tax exempt status in 1993. And not only does that mean they don't have to pay taxes, but they're just brutal to their own members about harassing them for money. And I mean, they'll bankrupt a person. I'm talking to somebody right now. They told her to go home and get her husband's 401k and turn it over.
But what about the argument here, just for the sake of playing the devil's advocate here? What about the argument that, there are plenty of television televangelists that bankrupt people under the Christian faith? Why are we treating Scientology different from any other religion?
Right. And believe me, there are a lot of different controlling groups that share tactics with Scientology and other churches that do. I think what sets Scientology apart is it's a very bureaucratic organization. They've got a whole wing of people whose whole job is to get you to turn over money you don't even have.
Oh my goodness.
There's so many stories of people that are asked to open credit cards. Stephen Mangle has a great story where he was completely tapped out, and they told him, well, you know what? You can open a credit card, charge it, and he said, look, I don't have any credit. So they had 10 different people with 10 iPads all apply for credit for him all at the same time because they said if you do that, then they can't figure out that they're all trying it separately. I mean, they'll do anything to get money from you, even if it's money you don't have.
So, but beyond, I'm merely playing the devil's advocate here because all I really do know is kind of
Paul
Haggis one. Yes, going clear. So, do we have actual like hard evidence? Right. In terms of investigative journalism, just stories, but like, I've got evidence of these things actually going down. And that's a genuine question, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, they've been, this is not a new organization. This thing has been investigated by journalists and governments since the 60s. It's been sued many, many times. There are volumes of court records showing how people are abused, how people are pressured to give all their money, how, families are ripped apart. Nothing that Leah is putting on air is not things that journalists and governments haven't exposed for 50 years. But I think because it's Leah Remini, it's reaching a whole new audience that are completely shocked because they just haven't really heard about it or haven't thought about it.
And she's a huge star.
She's also showing another side of it. I mean, we were talking about going clear and what that did. It really was... When you say this is a relatively new religion, I mean, it was started Dianetics in the 50s with L. Ron Hubbard. And so it's still kind of, you're trying to wrap your head around what this is and thetans. And I think that
it
blows
you
away. Paul Haggis had the perfect, he's like, and then he got to whatever level and he's like, that's it. You know, where they peel it back. That was I laughed so hard. But that was a great movie as an introduction of what it is and some of the fellow members. But I really feel that what she's bringing to the table is, she was a teenager. Her mother got her into it, and she was handing out pamphlets at Times Square when she was a kid. And so she's been in it, immersed, had her child in it, everything. And it's funny because I tweeted back and forth with Angela, her husband, and we were talking about the night that I went to dinner with them, and I picked her brain about Scientology. And he said, oh, I saved you because I was asking you about the NFL and being on the NFL on Fox. And I said, no, I would way rather talked about Scientology with her because I was so intrigued. And she was very much involved back then. But what she's doing is putting a human face on it, telling stories of what they're capable of. Because I don't think people realize that they can get away with what they've gotten away with for so long.
They're very sophisticated. They spend a lot of money on high-priced attorneys and private investigators. They know what they're doing. I mean, they have run rings around the U.S. court system for decades.
But things are different now, and I'm curious if this is going to change, or is this going to be business as usual for them because they'll have new recruits, and this will be, okay, yeah, fine, that was a docuseries.
Well, one of the things that's so intriguing about them is that any other organization, any other larger organization that would get this kind of press would put out some press releases and say, you know what, we're misunderstood. We're going to make sure that, you know, we don't do these things. I mean, they would make some concessions. Like, but Scientology, they always believe it's better to attack.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to back down. They're not going to change.
Wait, are we talking Donald Trump or Scientology right now? I'm just confused.
They will double down.
Full attack
mode. And
that's
what's so intriguing about them.
Well, say what you will about them. They've got one hell of a Christmas catalog. And I was going through it, Tony, on your
TonyOrtega.org.
Oh, it's fantastic. If
you can see, I'm looking at it.
What do you see that you want on there? Tell me what you want, Ethan. I can send it to you. I know you're Jewish, but I'll still send it.
I mean, I'm so curious about the e-reader. What does an e-reader read? I want to know. I like both black and white, though. They're both rather
lovely.
Yeah,
the new black and white $5,000 yes. E-meters. An electrical engineer will tell you that it's measuring a very simple little current that goes through your skin. It's called skin galvanism, and it just measures the tiny fluctuations in it that really mean nothing. But to Scientologists, it's reading
everything.
The thoughts in your mind, and it's like, you know, you can't hide a secret from the e-meter, and they consider it this really amazing tool that will help verify your memories as you try to go back millions and billions of years into your past, trying to remember what happened to you on other planets. So to them, spending $5,000 on this item that maybe cost to manufacture $100 to put together is really a bargain.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and you can get it in black or white, remember.
$5,000. So I'm expecting the black one from you, Jillian, and the white one from Tony.
Well, you only need one. You only need one. Pick something out on the list. They've got a whole variety of things. Tony, how did you – so this is an actual catalog that they put out?
Yes, I saw she puts out a Christmas catalog. And they actually put out two. They put out the regular catalog, and they put out the jewelry catalog.
Ooh.
So if you want to get a set of Dianetics earrings – or,
why do they use the cross, though? I'm looking at this. Why are they still using the cross? I mean, your $2,000 cross pendants. What?
The Scientology cross is not a Christian cross, although they would like for you to make that mistake.
Oh,
the Scientology cross comes from the Rosicrucian Rosy Cross, which is an occult symbol that Aleister Crowley used.
Aleister
back in
Crowley,
England.
Yeah.
I've been corrected by my friend. It's Crowley, like Holy.
Oh, Crowley.
And
okay.
Aleister Crowley used this cross, and Hubbard inherited it from him. And it's really an occult symbol, but they like it because it fools people into thinking they have something to do with Christianity.
Oh, my gosh.
There is no Christianity in Scientology. As a matter of fact, what I was trying to point out in the story is how funny it is that they always celebrate Christmas. Because L. Ron Hubbard teaches that Jesus Christ was a figment of the imagination and he never existed.
Oh, my
Lord. They not only don't believe in God in Scientology, they don't believe that Jesus ever existed, that he's just a mental implant. Mm. And yet they put on this big Christmas show because they want people to think that they're, you know, they're normal and crazy, whatever.
That's crazy. Wait a minute. So let's get back to it because I don't think Ethan even understands. So they don't believe in God. They believe in, like, thetans. They're like alien beings, correct?
They inhabit us?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
We are each immortal. Spiritual beings called Satans, and it was Satans that created this universe, but we have lost our superpowers, and what Scientology helps us do is recover those powers by remembering what happened to us billions of years ago.
So if that's true, wait. So if that is true, where is the Scientologist superhero who has Superman powers?
Well, exactly. They've been promising these superpowers for 62 years, and they haven't once demonstrated anybody that's got those powers. And if you ask them about it, they say, you know what, it just wouldn't be polite for us to reveal those powers in public.
Are you sure it's not Tom Cruise? I'm just throwing that out there. I mean
he does have superpowers at the box office. I love Tom Cruise, by the way. I think he's a great actor, and I enjoy his movies.
I do, too. But
wow.
I will say,
my mind is kind of like, you know.
After reading about, I think he used to set up, I believe this is true, and Tony, you'll know, there was a big argument between he and Sumner Redstone because Tom, part of his deal is that when he does a movie on your lot, that he can set up a whole recruiting tent where he could.
Fun. I want to get audited now.
I don't know.
Or whatever.
What you do.
What do they do when
an
you.
E-meter.
When you I don't think everybody's shaking their heads at me like, no, Ethan, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But didn't he? So I like Tom Cruise, but I got to tell you, part of me goes, He's into that. He believes in, like, phaetons and all that. I don't know.
Golly, I love the Mission
Impossible
movies.
Maybe the Scientologists look at us and go, you believe a man walked on water and made water into wine and blah, blah, blah. They're all fairy tales.
What better is there than wine, by the way?
What better? I ask you. I don't know.
Nobody can answer that.
So the Christmas catalog is out there. I'm curious as to how many people buy from it. And where does the money goes right back to the church then, Tony?
Well, the thing about the Christmas catalog is you would think maybe they've got special stockings in there or something, but they're just selling the same books they always sell.
Oh, okay.
Except for the e-meter, it's just the same set of materials they're always selling people the rest of the year as well. So it's not the most special catalog in the world, but it's fun to leaf through.
Well, Tony, they've been litigious for a very long time. It's just it's a different time now because more and more people are coming out and they're getting series and they're getting documentaries and movies. So I think it must be a time for them. You know, they're used to lashing out to protect and to attack. This has got to be a busy time for them.
You know, 6 more episodes from Leah, and there are other shows coming. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to check this show out, though.
It's terrific.
I'm very interested. And again, it's tonyortega.org. I'm going to be reading through it, Tony, because I apparently need to learn more.
Well, you'll get sucked into.
I hope you enjoy it. Ethan, thank you. And Leah's show is Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on A&E.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on today with us.
Thanks for having me on.